Today on Bold Steps Weekend with Mark Jobe, we'll see how unforgiveness clogs up the channel that allows the forgiveness of God to flow to you.
Forgiveness is acknowledging that what's been done to you is wrong. But just as your Heavenly Father has forgiven you, then you find the grace and the power to no longer hold that person in debt to their wrong. And so you release those who have hurt you, because if not, you keep yourself in debtor's prison.
Welcome to Bold Steps Weekend with Mark Jobe. Mark is president of Moody Bible Institute and the senior pastor of New Life Community Church in Chicago. Well, here at Bold Steps Weekend, we have a growing number of Mark's messages archived online, along with a variety of resources designed to help you find the passion and calling in your life. So we'd love for you to go online and explore that today. We also want to invite you to listen to Mark throughout the rest of the week on our daily program. Learn more about our weekday edition of Bold Steps when you visit boldstepsradio.org. Right now, let's move forward with our series called Help My Unbelief, Speaking to the Heart of Doubt. Mark is explaining why unforgiveness is more harmful to you than the person you're unwilling to forgive. And our message starts right now.
You see, the pileup of pain and hurt in the average person's life oftentimes harms the ability to trust and leads to doubt the goodness of God. Many people that I have talked to that have a hard time believing in God or trusting God, it's because people in authority in their lives have disappointed them, abandoned them, hurt them. So to think of God makes them to think they distrust God. What is the price we pay for unforgiveness? Well, your perspective and sense of fairness is altered. Your freedom is taken when you have unforgiveness in your heart. Your emotional health suffers because of unforgiveness. The ability to experience real relational closeness is lost because of unforgiveness. Your ability to manage your anger is also lost through unforgiveness. And oftentimes your ability to trust anyone in authority, trust any, whether it be a principal, whether it be a teacher, whether it be a coach, or whether it be God himself, it's hard to trust when you've been disappointed by people that were supposed to be looking out for you, leading you, but yet you have been hurt by them. Now, how does unforgiveness block faith? Well, you need to see that in Matthew chapter 6, verse 12, and then verses 14 through 15, Jesus is teaching us how to pray the Lord's Prayer. And you've all prayed this before. And some of us just glaze over this part of the Lord's Prayer. But it says, "And forgive us our debts or trespasses, as we also have forgiven those who trespass against us." We've prayed that 100 times. Many, many times. But do you realize what you're actually praying? You're actually praying, "Lord, if I don't forgive other people, then don't forgive me either. If I hold a grudge towards others, Lord, you hold a grudge towards me." I remember for years, I would pray the Lord's Prayer, and then I would skip over this part. Because I thought, I don't know if I want to pray that. And then he goes on to say, "For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." In essence, what he's saying is that as long as you hold unforgiveness in your own heart, then God cannot fully release you because you are in a state of sinning, and God cannot release you while you are unrepentant about that. Here's the way it works. As you begin to release and forgive others, then the forgiveness of God flows clearly and powerfully into your life. But when you have resentment, pain, unforgiveness, bitterness in your heart, then it clogs up the channel that allows the forgiveness of God to flow to you. Some of you are here today and you cannot experience God and you have not experienced His presence or felt His power, not because God is not present, not because God doesn't love you, not because God is not reaching out to you, but because the channel through which the grace of God and the presence of God flows has been clogged up, bottlenecked. And although God is pouring it towards you, you cannot receive it because there's bitterness, unforgiveness, or anger that does not allow you to experience the fullness of God. There are people here that you doubt God because you have not heard His voice. There are people here who you have random thoughts of, am I just praying to my head, because you have not experienced His presence. You call to the heaven and they seem like brass. You speak to God and He seems like He does not answer. You see other people that seem to be experiencing the presence of God and you look at them and say, I wish I could feel God like they feel God. But your heart is numb. You don't feel the power. You don't hear His voice. You don't experience His presence. And you live with doubt in your heart, wanting to believe, but still yet there's your challenge to believe, to really experience the presence of God. It's like someone behind a thick, dark glass. You think they're there, but you're not really sure. It's like that car that drives down the street and they have the tinted windows and you see the car driving and you figure, well, I guess there's someone in there, but I can't see them. I can't hear them. And many of us approach God that way. Why? Because the glass of communication has been fogged by hurt and bitterness and unforgiveness. And so although we want to experience God, we are unable to experience God because our heart has been clogged. The funnel has been blocked by the power of unforgiveness. You say, well, Pastor, how do I know if I have unforgiveness in my heart blocking me from trusting God? Well, I've discovered over the years that there's two main symptoms of people that are allowing unforgiveness to block their heart. One is shame and the other is bitterness. Shame is a refusal to receive forgiveness from others and from God. To live under that cloud of our own sins, debt, and stigma. Shame is that sense that you're never worthy before God. That how could God ever love you, embrace you, because you have so much garbage upon you. Some people walk into an auditorium like this and they walk in and they're ashamed already before God. They feel the stench of their past failures and they view themselves full of guilt and trespasses, and it's hard for them to look to the heavens and believe that God would even want to talk to them, that God would even want to reach out, that God, the God of the universe, that's so holy and pure, would ever want to touch you, because you've never been able to fully receive the forgiveness of God and you have shame upon you. You see, the only thing that disarms shame is repentance. Repentance is the acknowledgement of, I have done wrong. I know I am stained. I know I'm flawed. I know I've made mistakes, and I acknowledge those, and what I need is forgiveness. The other symptom of people that are blocked because unforgiveness in their life is bitterness. Bitterness is the refusal to offer forgiveness to others, to expect and desire for people to live under the shame of their own sin and debt. And what disarms bitterness? Your forgiveness in community. You see, some people think that they're not angry anymore because you don't feel that volcano of anger. I was speaking to a young man recently and I said, I believe that you have anger in your heart. He said, no, I used to have a lot of anger, but I don't have it anymore. I said, no, you see, anger can take on two forms. It can take on rage, which is explosive, that flares up uncontrollable like a volcano. But oftentimes, if unforgiveness and pain is not dealt with, we don't live forever with this rage, and it turns into something that's more sinister, and it's bitterness. Bitterness doesn't make you feel this rage, but it flows deep, it simmers inside of you. Bitterness is this simmering feeling of whoever has done wrong to me, I want them to pay for what they've done wrong. I want them to experience the pain and the shame, and I will never let them go, and I will never forget what they've done to me, and I will try to make them pay as much as I can. That's bitterness. Bitterness will consume you. Bitterness will take away your joy. Bitterness will cause you not to experience and feel the power of God. Bitterness will isolate you from everything, every outreach that God tries to reach out to you. You will shun Him, not hear Him, not feel Him, because bitterness will shield you from the presence of God. That's why Jesus said, if you want to have faith to move mountains, before you pray to move mountains. Before you believe that God can do the incredible, if you have anything against anybody and you know it in your heart, then first of all, go make things right and then come back and pray. Because if you have stuff in your heart and you go to pray, you won't pray with faith. You'll pray with doubt. Forgiveness has the power to unplug the channel for God's grace and create an atmosphere of faith.
You're listening to Bold Steps Weekend with Mark Jobe. Our message, Faith and Forgiveness, will continue here in just a moment. More information, of course, at boldstepsweekend.org. Well, Mark, we love hearing from listeners, and I underscore love hearing from listeners and how the program is having an impact in their lives, and occasionally we share them on the air. I think you'll be encouraged by this note. This listener says, from Bloomington, Indiana, I'm giving to Moody Radio because you have given me so much. I listen to it every day while working in my workshop. I don't miss a day. I felt in my heart to give from my weekly allowance. Thank you so much for blessing many hearts, especially mine.
Let me tell you, Martha, thank you so much. It encourages us, people that are listening and receiving and partnering with us in this ministry. So thank you.
Yeah, very generous.
Yes. And I saw another note from Redlands, California. We're on K-Wave. A shout out to all those that listen in California. And this listener says, your messages help me tremendously. They're easy to understand, and I can relate to them. And I just want to say, you know, I try to take the Word of God and make it as practical as possible, because in the setting that I'm preaching, there's CEOs, but there's also truck drivers, mm-hmm. and from every walk of life. So we love to hear comments from our listeners. Wayne, can you tell our listeners how to comment?
Of course, it's easy. Just go to our website, boldstepsweekend.org. There in the drop-down menu, you'll find links to help you learn more about Moody Bible Institute and become a Bold partner. And thank you for doing that. Also, there's an Ask a Question section as well, so any of those things can help tremendously when you go to boldstepsweekend.org. And thank you for your gifts, especially those of you who are Bold partners making this program possible. Now, let's get back to the second part of today's message with Mark Jobe.
Mark 11:25 and says, when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive them, so that your Father in heaven may forgive you. And what it doesn't state in this passage, but it's implied in this passage, is when God forgives you, God also fills you with faith. You can't be filled with unforgiveness and be filled with faith. They are counterproductive. Your faith, your unforgiveness will not leave room for faith. Now, what is forgiveness? Well, forgiveness is this choice that we make, a repeated choice to tear up debt incurred by being sinned against, whether it's real, intentional, or unintentional. Do you understand that? Forgiveness is my choice to say, I will repeatedly release this person from the damage that they've done to me, the hurt that they've caused me, Forgiveness is not just one choice. You don't just forgive, you get an attitude of forgiveness, because how many of you know people will continue to hurt you? How many of you know it's just not one time? Some people say, well, I forgave them last month. I don't know what happened to me. Let me tell you how it works. You forgive them, but you have to take the position of forgiveness towards that person, because every time you think of what they did, it's easy to get offended again. And every time you see the consequences of what's been done, it's easy to get offended again. You come to the altar, you have a major prayer, you finally say, okay, I forgive my ex-spouse. They're still a jerk, but I forgive them. And then the next time the alimony payment doesn't come to you, all of that weight hits you again, and you get reoffended again. And you come and you say, well, I thought I forgave them, but you know what? It's all back here again. You see, forgiveness is this ongoing attitude of I'm going to maintain an attitude of forgiveness towards those people that are hurting me or offending me. Why? Because they deserve to be forgiven? No. What is forgiveness? Forgiveness is not minimizing what they've done. Forgiveness is not excusing what has been done to you. Forgiveness is not ignoring what's been done to you. Forgiveness is not forgetting what's been done to you. Forgiveness is acknowledging that what's been done to you is wrong. But just as your Heavenly Father has forgiven you, then you find the grace and the power to no longer hold that person in debt to their wrong. And you release them not because they deserve to be released, but because God has released you. And so you release those who have hurt you, because if not, you keep yourself in debtor's prison. You see, what does forgiveness require? It requires faith. Let me tell you, you can't forgive someone on your own. You have to have faith. Why? Because it's an impossible task, a huge task. I love what commentator Wright says. He says, perhaps not surprisingly, the disciples realize in verse 5 that all this will require more faith than they think they have. Jesus is quick to respond. It's not great faith you need, it's faith in God. And that's Luke chapter 17, verses 5 through 7. Listen to what it says. The apostles said to the Lord, increase our faith. And the Lord said, if you have faith like a grain of mustard seed, you could say to the mulberry tree, be uprooted and planted into the sea, and it would obey you. I have a lot of people that misunderstand this passage because they think they need to increase their faith. But you see, Jesus is not saying that your faith needs to be bigger. Jesus is saying all it requires is a little faith. Maybe this image is easier for you to see. You see, faith is seeing into the unseen world that which we cannot see. I like to think of it this way. Faith is like a hole, a peephole into the unseen world. Now, if you look out those glass doors in the back when the curtains are open, it's easy to walk by and there's a big glass door and you can see what's in the foyer. But let's just say that it was all blocked off and all there was a little door with a keyhole in it. Let me ask you, you may not be able to see clearly, but if you get down to the keyhole, all you need is a little hole to see into the unseen world. Isn't that true? Faith is that way. All you need is the keyhole the size of a mustard seed, and you can begin to see into the unseen world. That's all you need. Most people think I don't have enough faith, and what God is saying is it doesn't require a lot of faith. It just requires a little faith to be a window into the unseen world. Now I'll wrap it up with this. Listen to me today, because I've been thinking a lot about faith and why we believe and don't believe. I believe if you're here today and you don't know if God exists and you're an agnostic is a person that believes in a supreme being but doesn't believe they can define it or know who that is. An atheist is someone that doesn't believe in a supreme being. I just had a conversation with a very smart young lady this past week that looked at me and sat down and said, I want to talk to you. She said, I'm an atheist. I don't believe in God. I believe that God is a crutch for weak people. I've been to Bible study classes. I've been around Christians. And I just have to say, I don't need God to give me a purpose. I have my own purpose in life. I looked at this smart young lady and I said, can I ask you what you do believe in? She said, I believe in me. I said, you believe in you? She said, I don't mean that in a bad way or egotistical way, but I believe in me. I prayed in my mind, Holy Spirit, give me insight. Because I know it's a spiritual battle. I said to this young lady, and what happens when you disappoint you? Because when you fail you, and you will, when you don't get into that college that maybe you applied for, when your grades aren't as high as you wanted it to be, when you make a mistake and you disappoint you, what will you do with that failure?
You're listening to Bold Steps Weekend with Mark Jobe. I hope you will join us online for more information about this program at boldstepsweekend.org. We're so grateful for the partners who make this program possible. We have resources we'd love to get into your hands, including this month's Bold Step gift, Dr. Erwin Lutzer's book, We Will Not Be Silenced. To tell us more about it, Mark Jobe is here again with a unique surprise.
Well, hey, we've got a special guest here in the studio today, someone that I've known for a long time. I consider him a friend. He's pastored in the city of Chicago, former pastor of the Moody Church, currently continuing with his program called Running to Win. And that's my friend, Dr. Pastor Erwin Lutzer. And great to have you in the studio today.
So great to be with you, Mark. And let me commend you for the title of your program, Bold Steps. As I was thinking about it, it says in the book of Acts that the early apostles, when they were under persecution, they prayed for boldness. And you and I know that we're living in an era in which we need some very bold steps.
Absolutely. And you know what? You wrote a book that the title itself sort of makes you want to jump up and say yes. And it's called We Will Not Be Silenced. And our listeners know that our culture has been shifting and changing, and oftentimes Christians feel intimidated by the culture. And I think in this book, you're challenging Christians, hey, don't be silent, stand up, be firm, be gracious, but be firm. Talk to me about that.
Well, you know, I didn't write the book, We Will Not Be Silenced, in order to reclaim the culture. That might not be possible, but I wrote it to reclaim the church. What I tried to do is to answer the question, what does faithfulness look like in a nation that clearly has lost its way? And so it was my intention to, discuss the cultural currents that we are up against, but at the same time to ask this question, how do we as Christians relate and how do we stand for truth in an era in which truth oftentimes is so convoluted? And certainly we're confronted with a lot of non-truth, if I might put it that way. So that's my burden. My burden is for the church to understand its mission. And we're living in a new era, obviously. No other generation had to put up with transgenderism and all of the other issues in our culture. And so what I want Christians to be able to do is to understand the culture better and then ask the question, how does the Bible apply to it?
There you have it, Dr. Pastor Erwin Lutzer. And I just want to say that he's a good example of a man that, as long as I've known him, he's been preaching boldly but graciously the gospel of Jesus and not been silent. So thank you, brother, for your faithfulness.
Thank you so much, Mark.
Well, this book from Dr. Lutzer is available as our Bold Step gift for a limited time, so let us send you a copy of We Will Not Be Silenced by requesting this Bold Step gift today. You do that by giving a donation of any amount to support Bold Steps Weekend. Just call us at 866-535-5580 to donate today. That's 866-535-5580. Or give online and request this Bold Step gift when you go to boldstepsweekend.org. or send your donation and request for the book in the mail. Our address is simply Bold Steps Weekend, 820 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60610. And if you would like easy access to these Bible lessons, you can have them downloaded automatically to your smart device by subscribing to the Bold Steps Weekend podcast. Just open up your podcast app and search for Bold Steps Weekend with Dr. Mark Jobe. And then, if you'd like access also to the special new video content coming out exclusively on the Bold Steps YouTube channel, be sure to subscribe there as well by searching for Bold Steps Radio on YouTube. And then, as we look ahead to the week, we want to invite you to join us for our daily Bold Steps program. Find it on your local station or simply go to boldstepsradio.org to learn more. Well, that's our time for today. Next weekend, we'll be learning from Jesus about how to deal with shame and disappointment based on his encounter with a woman at the well. Hear a message from Mark Jobe titled Faith and Failure. That's next time on Bold Steps Weekend with Mark Jobe. Bold Steps Weekend is a production of Moody Radio, a ministry of Moody Bible Institute.